Dan, thanks very much, and Frank, very much for the introduction. And if you had to keep on, you would have me in tears. I'll say my name is Eamon. I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. I haven't gambled in over 32 years. I haven't taken an alcoholic drink in over 26 years, and I haven't taken a drug in 26 years. And I feel it's a privilege to say that, and it's a blessing to say it. And to me, it is totally unbelievable, you know, that I can say that, you know. Frank asked me to sort of pick a theme, and the theme I wanted to think about was which step was the hardest? Which step was the most challenging? Which step was the toughest? You know, I came into Gamblers Anonymous many, many years ago when I was 17 years of age, and I went back out. I came in again, went back out. And again and back out. And one of the things was what took me out. One of the things was when I gambled, I lived by certain principles. I lived by my principles, you know, and my principles were things like, you know, I was selfish, I was self-centered, I was totally inconsiderate, I could rationalize and justify anything, I was a real actor, I could manipulate people and situations. I was closed-minded. I was totally arrogant. I was totally defiant. I had no humility. I was totally obstinate, judgmental. I played the victim. I played the martyr. And that was the principles that I lived by when I came into Gamblers Anonymous. And I found out, even if you're going to live by them principles there, you're going to fall on your sword. And went back out gambling, and I came in again. Tried to live by my own principles, and I fell on my own sword again. And I came in another time, and I realized, Eamon, you can't live by these principles. You know, it says some of us try to hold on to our old ideas, and the result's nil. Eamon, you're going to try and find an easier, softer way, but you can't. Eamon, half measures avail you nothing. So the reality was, I had to change certain principles, but I needed somebody to help me. Now, I was in Gamblers Anonymous for 6 years. And I'll say this here. I didn't gamble. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't know too much about the steps. There was not too many people around where I come from that knew about the steps. And I lived rough. It was rough living. You know, as I said in the earlier share, you're away from gambling 32 years, but away from drinking drugs 26 years. You see, what happens was I stopped the gambling and I cross-addicted. You know, I was in so much pain. And the Gamblers Anonymous book makes it very, very clear. It says the pain of living for some compulsive gamblers is worse than the pain of gambling. And it certainly was for me, you know. And I messed about and I wouldn't surrender and I was in total denial, you know. And I came to see Eamon, you know, see one of these steps, you have to smash and you have to crash the denial. Do you know what I mean? After 6 years, then I had the humility and I asked somebody to sponsor me, you know, and that was a massive, massive step because why? It's like every compulsive gambler. Well, I'll say about me, who likes to admit defeat? No one. Every instinct was saying I was going to make it. The reality was, even 6 years and you weren't going to make it, you were going to go back. Do you know what I mean? And you're creating second wreckages. But I have the humility to ask somebody to help me, you know, and that was a massive, massive step. You know, I came to see as well after a period of time in Gamblers Anonymous. I realized, and I would say this here, you know, I realized, you know what, coming into Gamblers Anonymous is one thing, and I believe this is my own opinion and what I've seen. That's a real spiritual battle to stay in the fellowship. I really mean that. You see, this addiction will try its best to send you back again, and I've seen that. You can feel like in the room, I'm not getting supported. I don't fit in. I don't like it here. They're not sharing the way I want them to share. Do you know what I mean? And so it's a real battle to stay in. I've seen thousands of people in the time, and I've seen an awful lot go back again. You know, and I realised this is a real spiritual battle. You know, you have to try your best to stay in. You know, make it your priority in life. I make stopping gambling my priority in life. Like, do you know what I mean? I realise as well, do you see the first steps is I'm powerless over gambling. And I'll tell you, that was a tough step, you know, and my life is becoming manageable. You see, I came to believe powerless only means when a placebeta can't stop. That's what I believed. And the reality was, Eamon, that's only part of it. Do you mean the reality is, can you stop yourself from taking the first bet? And I had to come to see, Eamon, have you got what's called an effective mental defense? Can you use your thinking to stop gambling? Now I look back and I said to myself, Eamon, you had a period of time where you were 6 months off gambling and you went back. You had a period of time when you were 3 months off gambling and you went back. Eamon, you had a period of gambling where you were 14 months and you went back. Have you got an effective mental defense to stop yourself from taking the first bet? And I really came to see, you see, that's part of that step. You know, I've got no effective mental defense. I came to see this as well. Do you see that second step? It says return to a normal way of thinking and living, or return to sanity. It means exactly the same thing if I break it down, but I'm not going to break it down. Do you know, I understand it. I have to understand what I really suffer from. You see, I get fined what was called an insanely trivial excuse why to gamble. I'm sitting in rooms and I've seen lots of people could come up with an insanely trivial excuse. I haven't gambled in 3 years. I haven't gambled in 6 years. I thought I could just go and have a couple of pound. It was only a wee bet. I thought it would be okay. And I came to see that's madness. That's the madness that they're talking about, the insanity. You see, I don't take a bet and go mad. I go mad and I take a bet. The reality was I had to really understand what it was actually saying to me, you know. I came to see as well, this is for me. Do you see that second step, the real understanding of it for me? It's like compulsive gamblers, they suffer from a thing called repression. That's what I've come to see. I'm a long time round and talked to people who went out and came back and out and came back, and some went out and never came back. And I came to see, what's this here repression? And I came to see, you know, I'll go back to what Bill Walton said, not Jim W. Bill Walton says, we suffer from a thing called repression. What is it? He says, it's an involuntary blocking in your conscious mind. What does that mean, Eamon? It says, when you try to recall the reason why you should not or cannot go back gambling safely or successfully, the reality is that gets blocked at certain times. And you see nothing at all wrong with going back to place a bet. He says, that's what we suffer from, repression. An involuntary blocking in your conscious mind. And he said it in a different way as well. He says, Eamon, the problem is, Eamon, here's a massive step. You suffer from a thing called lack of proportionate thinking. When you try to recall the proportion of your thinking that you need in order not to place that bet, at certain times, Eamon, that proportion of your thinking is no longer there. So you see nothing at all wrong with going back to place a bet. Now I'm going to tell you, that blew my mind. I had to come to see, okay, here's what you're really suffering from. You see, then it asked me a question. You see, it talks about the first three steps. It says conclusion steps. Are you powerless over gambling? Can you manage your life? What's your conclusion? Are you of sound mind? You're not gambling. What's your conclusion? Step three, Eamon, is it going to be your will or God's will? What is your conclusion? And you see, I'd been in a spiritual battle with God. What happened? I didn't want the God of the Catholic Church. I didn't want the God that was forced upon me. And I love what the book says. It makes it quite clear. It says, Eamon, your own conception of God, even how inadequate it may be. Now, I'll say this here. It was a massive, massive step for me to ask the power into my life because I wasn't sure if a power was going to work. I really wasn't sure if I trusted the power. And I thought, Eamon, okay, let's look. You've got a deep, deep resentment towards your father. You wished your father dead. You're bitter towards him. You blamed him from your past. The reality is, will you pray for your father and ask God to remove all this resentment? And I thought, I'm not going to do it. You see, what does it say? Eamon, do you want to live by certain principles? You're defiant. You're obstinate. Are you open-minded? Are you willing? Do you want to take the step? And I thought, you know what, man? I'm not praying for my father. I'm not going to try this here at all. You see, after a period of time, I was in so much pain. There's a great saying in the book. You seem to get resentment. Here's what it says. It blocks you off from the sunlight of the spirit, Amen. Amen. When you're blocked off from the sunlight of the spirit, you're in the dark. To be in the dark is not a good place. There's nasty things that happen in the dark. You know, you go down a rabbit hole or down a warren, and you know what happens? You keep regurgitating and you keep replaying the resentment, and you're getting sicker and sicker and sicker the whole time. And I realized I'm in so much pain, I'm going to put this to the test. And I knelt down and I prayed for my father, and I wished everything for my father. Everything I would wish for myself, I asked my God to give to my father. Amazing thing happened. The resentment towards my father went after 2 weeks. I couldn't believe it, and I thought, that's amazing to me. There's no human power that can do that. No human power whatsoever. But I'll tell you what, now I'm starting to be conscious of a higher power. Now I'm starting to be conscious there's a God. The reality is, I knelt down and I said the prayer. Third step prayer. And I asked God to take care of my thinking and take care of my living. And part of my thing was, part of the step for me was, I never want to forget this. God, keep me away from the gambling. Take me away from the drink. I'm drinking alcoholically. Take me away from drugs. Help me be faithful and loyal towards my wife and towards my kids. My wife is out of my life and so is my kids. They live in a different country. If I'm meant to get them back, please give them back to me. And if I'm not a fit father and a fit husband, please keep them away from me. Keep me out of courthouses and police cells and prisons. Please help me to come to terms when we've passed the guilt and the remorse, the shame, the fear, the self-loathing, the self-hatred. I knelt down and I took the prayer and I took that third step. But here's what it says. Amen. That decision alone has little permanent effect unless it once followed the intense act of effort. The reality was, I had to put pen to paper. I never forgot that. You see, the book says that gambling's only a symptom of my problem. So it asked me a question. Okay, Eamon, do you want to go and fish yourself? Do you want to put pen to paper and find out who you really are? You see, the book says, here's a massive step, Eamon. Massive, massive step. Do you want to find out who you are? Do you want to stop playing the actor, Eamon? Because, Eamon, outward appearance, Eamon, has got nothing to do with inward reality. Eamon, you're an actor on the stage. Eamon, one you like your fellows to see. Eamon, you try to enjoy a certain reputation. But, Eamon, deep down in your heart, you know, Eamon, you don't deserve it. You better put pen to paper. The reality is, the book says it very, very clearly. Page 123 in the big book and page 124 says it. You buried things about yourself in the past. You buried them alive in a dark closet. Amen. Take them out of the dark closet. In God's hands, that is your greatest possession. The reality is, I put pen to paper and I done four inventories. One was my resentments. One was my fears. One was my sex conduct, which was very, very troublesome for me. And one was the people that harmed. And I put pen to paper. And I can remember at times whenever I was writing and what actually happened, I says, I can't share this in step five. And I went to my sponsor and I says, I cannot share this. I was frightened of step five. He said to me, thank God. He says, Eamon, he says, nobody is asking you to share it. It's asking you to write it down. And I went back and I started writing again. And a few days later, things came up. And I realized again, I can't share this in step five. I can't share it. You know, it's repressed and suppressed. I never wanted to see the light of day. Remember, hey, these things here will put you into the dark. It will block you from the sunlight of the spirit. Amen. You've run and hid all of your life. These are things that have been run from. Amen. These are the very things that you gambled on. Have you had enough? And I went to my sponsor again and I says, look, I can't share these things in step five. He says, Eamon, you're on step four. He says, can you write them? And I thought, okay, I can write them. He was an amazing thing to me. You see, by the time I'd finished writing them, I couldn't believe something had shifted in Eamon. Something had shifted. I found step four was hard, very, very challenging. I didn't want to face myself. The reality was, seeing step five, I couldn't wait to face my sponsor. I could not wait. I thought myself, I could humble myself now. Do you mean I could drop the acting, drop the arrogance, have the humility? It's like, let somebody in order to let him out. I remember sitting in front of my sponsor and I told my sponsor, he's the character I really am. Here's what I've done and here's the reasons that I do them. Because it asked me a thing in step five. It says, and I think it's the most important thing for me of step five, it says the exact nature of your wrong, aiming not what you've done, man. Why did you do them? And that meant to me, I mean, you needed up to see, was it your pride? Was it your self-esteem? Was it your social life, security, emotionally, materially, acceptable sex conduct, hidden sex conduct? These are things that made you behave in a certain way. Eamon, let's have a closer inspection. Drop the act, drop the actor. Let's see, who are you? What are you? I came to see, I'm a selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate, dishonest human being. I ask God to guide, direct, and mold me in a different way. Help me not to go back to the way that I was, you know. And then you see, whenever I came to step six and step seven, here's what I came to see. Step six says, for interior health, God removed these defects of character. I love the way it's worded. He says these. And why does it say these? It says these that you're aware of. The ones that you're aware of. Your selfishness, your self-centeredness, your inconsiderateness, your dishonesty, your the fear as well. And I came to see. But here's what it says. It says more will be revealed. And I came to see, you see these defects of character. And I believe this here, you know, for me, I believe step six and step seven is the toughest steps out of all the steps in the program. Why? Because I mean this here, I have to watch things every second of the day. Because what happens is the old defects and the shortcomings come up. What happens first thing in the morning at times? I waken up, I'm in a certain space and I see negative thinking. Okay. Eamon, you get out of bed and what's happening? You're in the car, you're impatient. What else? Say that me and the wife have a few words. When I'm talking to somebody about my wife, I'm embellishing and exaggerating what she's done. And then I'm being honest. And then I start to play the martyr or the victim. And I came to see, Eamon, what else you can rationalise? Eamon, what else have you got to watch through the day? Greed. What else, Eamon? Gluttony. What else, Eamon? I can rationalise anything. What else, Eamon, can justify anything? Eamon, what else have you look out for? Lusting after somebody. Eamon, what else? You see, whenever I'm sitting in my own at times in my own living room with my wife, my mind works a certain way. I'm looking for a fault. I'm looking for something wrong. I'm looking to point out something. I'm looking to fix something, you know. What else, Eamon? I'm looking to correct other people. What else, Eamon? I've got sensitivity. I feel things. The book talks about, Eamon, you're hypersensitive. You're very sensitive. Page 125 says, takes a long time, Eamon, to outgrow that serious handicap. What else? Eamon, sometimes you do something and you've got a hidden motive. Eamon, what else? Watch out for self-condemnation. Eamon, when you're talking about somebody throughout the day, are you criticizing? Are you building them up? Are you being honest? Eamon, have you got shame in your life? Eamon, at certain times, are you over-remorseful? Eamon, at certain times, are you codependent? Eamon, at certain times, are you trying to be a fixer? Eamon, at certain times, are you arrogant? Eamon, at certain times, are you over-talking? Eamon, at certain times, are you oversharing? You see, Eamon, you watch yourself throughout the day and see what's really going on in your life. Do you know what I mean? I come to see, this is amazing. And I realise, you see, and the very next step, step seven, it says, it asks you a question. It says, if not willing, ask God to help you to become willing. That's a massive step. And you know what happens? I fall short lots and lots and lots and lots of times. That's what happens. I used to think to me, you know, some of the steps, which is the tougher steps? I've come to see step six, step seven, very, very tough step. The reality is, if I look and I say, okay, man, you've got fear. You've got remorse. You've got shame. You've got self-loathing. Okay, Amen. Do you think God is just going to remove them there from you? Amen. There's steps ahead to take care of them things, them steps. You see, what does step eight say? Step eight says, we made a list of all the people who've harmed, and we become willing to make amends to them all. But ask me a question, Eamon, what have you done to become willing? What have you done? Eamon, no good sitting in Gamblers Anonymous and saying you're willing. What have you done over the last weeks or months or last year to prove that you're willing? The reality is, I need to find out who I've harmed. I need to go to them. You see, what does step nine say as well? It says, make a list of all the people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Eamon, what have you shown to be willing? Have you gone out of your way? Have you searched, Eamon? Maybe, Eamon, you had to go on a journey that was 4.5 hour long. Eamon, maybe you had to jump on an aeroplane and go to London. Eamon, maybe you had to jump on an aeroplane and go to Nottingham. Eamon, maybe you had to drive to Dublin. You see, Eamon, you can't wait for the people to come to you, because some people may never, ever come to you. The reality is, Eamon, it says, here's the step. You tick the ball by the horns and you go out and you clean up the debris from your past, Eamon. That's a massive, massive step. You see, whenever I go and I make restitution and I put things right, here's what happens. Can you remember the defects of character I talked about? The fear goes, the remorse, the shame, the self-loathing, the self-pity, whatever it may be. I can hold my head high. I've got humility. I feel much, much better about myself because I've taken the step. You know, I can look the world in the eye. God is not going to do anything for me that I can do for myself. Here's the reality too. Eamon, you used to think that step 10 and step 11 was the toughest steps. I used to believe that until I got a real insight into 6 and 7. On a daily basis, on a second basis, every time I go out, open my mouth, I drive, I'm in the house, I have to watch Eamon. Eamon, you have to be vigilant. And I fall short many a time. And back to step 10 and step 11. You see, what does it say on step 11? Eamon, on awakening, let me think about the 24 hours ahead. It says, Eamon, can you plan every single day? Can you plan your journey? What's important? What needs taken care of every single day? That's quite tough, but I'll be well disciplined to do myself like that. It says as well, Eamon at 11, when you retire at night, Eamon, on a daily basis, constructively review your day. Eamon, it's a massive step. Where were you selfish, inconsiderate, dishonest, or afraid? Eamon, do you owe an apology? Eamon, did you share it with somebody whereabouts you got it wrong? Eamon, were you kind and loving towards all? Eamon, the reality is what you come to see. After making your review, Eamon, ask God what corrective measures should be taken. The reality is, I've come to see, that's a very, very tough step. That is so, so tough. Who wants to discipline themselves in that way? You see, the book tells me quite clearly, Eamon, that step talks about daily discipline. It says the compulsive gambler is undisciplined. Can you discipline yourself in that way? That's a massive, massive step. And I'll say this as well. I've made many mistakes in the past with step 12. You see, it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these first 11 steps, Eamon, carry this message to other compulsive gamblers. Eamon, do not try and carry a compulsive gambler until he gets the message. You're playing God. Eamon, you carry this message to compulsive gamblers. That's what your job is. And Eamon, you try and practice these principles on all of your affairs. Eamon, every single one of them defects and every single one whereabouts you fall short, the reality is try and do the opposite to the negative part of them defects of character and try and turn them on the assets. The reality is I've come to see that is not easy. And I've come to see this as well, I'm quickly finishing this here. I said I haven't gambled in 32 years. Life can be a son of a bitch. It can be really, really challenging. There are times there I could be impatient with my wife. I want to control things, you know what I mean? Eamon, you get nothing but a headache. The reality is, I've come to see this here as well. Eamon, never ever get too arrogant in the fellowship. Never get too arrogant and think something cannot happen to you because you're a long time round. I've had times in my life, you know, where it's like things have happened, and I always call it the pendulum effect, where something happens and I feel total despair, disillusioned, disconnection, erratic thinking, full of fear, irrational thinking. I feel I've lost my purpose. I feel not wanted, not needed, not loved, and not worthy. And it triggers off childhood trauma for me. Do you know what I mean? And whenever I get that childhood trauma stuff triggered, I operate from a complete different place. I can operate from a teenager, you know, young boy, 13, 14 years of age. There's times I can operate from a 6-year-old child or a 3-year-old child, and I'm not the parent. And I say to myself, this is amazing. And I look back and I say, this here is about your attachment style growing up. Just watch how you operate and see you dig deep for me and watch and see what type of character I am, see what type of attachment style I have. And it's unbelievable because I came to see Eamon. At times you've an anxious attachment style. And when a wound opens you, what you're actually doing is another defect of character, massive, massive and compulsive gamblers looking for some type of valuation, looking for some type of reassurance. To me, it'd be unbelievable. It's like at times I can run and I'm looking for my wife to give me the answer. I could be clingy because I'm hurt. And the reality is, Eamon, you have to stop looking for some type of validation. And I would say this as well. You see, throughout the day, I have to watch. I believe it's one of the biggest defects in compulsive gamblers, one of the biggest defects in me, looking for valuation, looking for my wife to say something. I'll just give you an example here. There's times that I watched, like last week, and I shared this with Frank a few days ago. Times I go to my wife and I go to her and I say, I love you, and I give her a kiss. The reality is, sometimes I can feel that low. And the reality is, I'm looking for my wife to say she loves me. That's the reality. And that's why I go to her, and that's why I say it. Because sometimes my self-esteem is so low. Sometimes I need reassurance. Sometimes I feel like I wanted, needed, and loved. And that can happen. So I've come to see this as well. You know, gambling for me is only a symptom of a problem. The reality is, this is about a living problem on a daily basis. And the reality is, I've came to see I'm 62 years of age, and it's unbelievable what I find out about myself. I say to myself, there's sometimes you can operate and you're like a little child. You're like a little disabled child. And it's unbelievable. And lots of times you look for validation, validation. And I look through that, they say, Eamon, and I think it's a brilliant idea for everybody. Look, each time during the day, look and see how many times I'm looking for validation, either on my wife, my kids, friends, whatever it is. And I say to myself, this is absolutely crazy. And I would say for me, the biggest defect in my character is looking for that valuation or validation from other people. That's all I'd like to say. Thanks very much. I hope I made some sense to you. Thank you there.
You're on mute, Dan.
I'm still muted. Thank you very much for that. What an amazing. Oops, second. Amazing share. Having difficulty today. Excuse me for 1 second. Know why. There we go. So, Eamon, thank you very, very much. If anybody would like to ask a question, because you're not quite finished yet, as you know, you have questions and answers coming up next. If anybody has any questions or comments for Eamon, please raise your hand. And Deborah has already put her hand, and Denise. And the meeting's going to continue, and we're going to have Deborah first. And again, Eamon, thank you for an amazing share once again. Deborah, you're up first. I'm going to go ahead and remove the. Everybody can unmute now. And question or comment, Deborah? Welcome.
Mute. Okay. Give me just a second. Can you hear me? Okay. There you go.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I was driving from town listening to you, Eamon, and I love that you talked to yourself. I mean, that was very powerful to me to hear that, and I appreciate it. It's like everything you said about the wanting the admiration or whatever it was you said, I see you. I'm you. I'm like, that's me too. And when you said what, the problem is what your daily life, I mean, something, it's not the gambling, it's another problem. And I agree with you totally on that. I do. And it's just trying to figure out what that is. And I guess going through the steps is what helps a lot of people. But anyway, I just wanted, I had to pull over. I'm on a country road. I just wanted to say thank you very much for your share. I gotta listen to it again because, yeah, I can't wait till it comes on recording. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deborah.
That was beautiful, Deborah. And you said the same exact thing. I'm going to have to listen to it myself again. There's a lot there, Eamon. Thank you. Denise H., please come on in.
Hello, family. My name is Denise, and I am a recovering compulsive gambler. Well, hello, Eamon. How
Hi,
are
Denise.
you? It is so good to hear you and to see you again. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. I enjoy how you simplify the steps. And everything you said was so true. Everything you said was so true, especially about self, especially about self, because it all started with me. It all started and it ended with me. And I'm so beautiful how you did seven and eight and six. It was all self steps. It's all self help. I like the fact when you said that sometimes you didn't need anybody else to help you, because for me, a sponsor is a guide. They give you instructions, but if you don't do the work, you're still not going to understand the steps. The steps is like my mom and dad. They are like my focus group. I learned that the steps are humanity. The steps is how we grow up. Every step is a step into maturity. And I love the way you put it, that when you learn one step completely, you learn a way, that particular way to live, because I use the inventory list as my guide of how to live well, because all those things in the inventory list is emotions to put to every situation. And that's how I learned this. That's how I learned EA. And thank you so much. I love you. You are such a cool brother. So thank you so much for sharing. You're beautiful. I love the way you put that. And I hope to see you really, really soon.
Thank you, Denise. All the best, darling. Take care.
Thank you, Denise. Beautiful. Claire D, please, you're next.
Thank you, Dad, coming on and speaking tonight. And I think it's always great to listen to. And I always take a lot from your shares. I just wanted to come in and apologize as well. The other Eamons left. I think there was the wrong Eamon to speak tonight.
It maybe it's just me, Claire,
Actually,
but you're not coming in clear. Am I the only one not listening? Frank, can you hear us?
it's coming in a little choppy. Maybe turn off your video for
So
a
if you
second,
don't mind
Claire.
turning off your camera, Claire, it'll come in much clearer. I can do it. There you go. I can do it for you if you like. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I was just wanting to. The other Eamon's left, but I think I possibly messaged the wrong Eamon. The Eamon that's still here and that spoke was the Eamon that I wanted to speak, but I think I messaged the other one. But I was just wanting to apologise to him, but he's left. But we can maybe get him in it. But thanks again, Eamon, for speaking.
Thank you there.
What's the coincidences of having two Eamon C's at the same time at the same meeting? It's a higher power moment, as Frank said. It's amazing. Thank you so much, Claire. It was all in good intentions, and it was actually comical too. And we do have three spots available in December, and Eamon C., the other one, is more than welcome to come back and speak in one of those. So thank you for everything you do, Claire. And we have Robert G. Robert, it's good to see you.
Hey, Dan, thanks. Good to see you too. Good. Thanks for your service. I'm Robert G., compulsive gambler, 6,009 days today. Very grateful for everybody that's here. You know, I haven't been in this Zoom in quite some time, and there's so many new people here, so I'm glad to be here. The one thing I took from this share is too bad you don't have confidence in your recovery. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for sharing. And the one thing that came crystal clear to me, if you don't do the work, nothing's going to change. And I just listened to you methodically go through the work and go back and do the work again and again. And that's all I wanted to comment. You know, it's crystal clear. You know, people come, including myself, and hang out for a long time and nothing's happening. And that's because we're not doing the work. So that's the message I took away from your share today. If you don't do the work, you're not going to work. So thanks a lot. I'll definitely be back. I'm so excited about your upcoming visit with Frank. I wish I was going to be there. Dan, you're going too. Unbelievable. So psyched. Thanks, guys. I'll be back.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. And we have Frank. Yes, next. Frank.
Thank you. Wow, what an amazing share. And I've heard Eamon share individually, privately, and in these main shares many, many times. And there's always something new that I get to hear, something I pay close attention. Not because I'm really good at paying close attention, is I want to make sure I understand what he's saying. And so it's a gift that there's this slight little accent that we have that he doesn't. And you know, the focus on 6 and 7 is something mm-hmm. that really, really hit me. And the challenges that I've had for the longest time, you know, I believe that, you know, again, 7, humbly ask God of our understanding to remove our shortcomings. There's a humility in that. And it doesn't guarantee that that's going to happen in many cases. As Eamon has so clearly articulated, the volume gets turned down. It doesn't just go mute. And the volume will go up depending upon what's going on in our own lives usually. And so there were the biggest challenges that I've had in my life. The biggest challenge has been patience. And the program helped me with that to a great extent, but not fully. And it took a life experience that I went through these last, you know, being a caregiver for my partner the last year and a half, where I really learned patience. And I really have taken that value of that lesson and moved it into all other areas of my life. And it's beyond belief. I purposely wait in line. I purposely go the long way. I purposely take my time to do things. And that's not me. And you know, it was a gift to be able to get that. And I've always valued each moment, and I recognize how precious it is and know that clearly it can be taken away at any time, as some of you have experienced and I have recently. But it hit a whole new level when that happened to me last month. And you better believe that how it's affected me and how much I cherish that, the lesson and the value in that. And it's informed, you know, who I become and what I strive to be in terms of, you know, what is really priority. You know, I put a lot of things on hold in my life. And now I get a fresh start, and I'm grateful that I have that. And I can decide what is going to be get in the way of me being of service, of me finding joy and meaning and purpose in my life, and what isn't. And those are some great gifts through the program, but also by having the benefit of the program and the willingness and open-mindedness that this program has given me with my faith in my higher power, I'm finally able to understand that and become better at that. But like Eamon says, there'll be times when What the heck happened? What happened to me? Here I thought I was, there's this spiritual ego that so many of us can get and say, yeah, I'm good, I'm doing well. And then all of a sudden we're blindsided and we become something that it's hard to believe. But I just loved your share in that, Eamon. The calling out yourself when you fall short, your vulnerability, your transparency, your humility in doing this is so honorable and so and something that I want to strive for and continue to work on, because that's the only way I'm going to get better. And so thank you for that just powerful message, and again, thank you for being of service and always being here to help us, me, and so many others.
Thanks very much, Frank. Great listening.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Tony is next, followed by Mark M. Tony F., you're up next, please. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Tony F., compulsive gambler. I just wanted to say, just amazing. I listened in awe to everything, and I just see a perfect way to work a program. I still struggle. What would you say to someone who still struggles with step three and also not forgiving themselves, not only for gambling, but other things that I've done in the past? So I just want to get your take on it. Maybe you've said it and I just didn't listen hard enough, but if you could give me some input on that, I would certainly appreciate it. Just fantastic, Eamon. Thank you so much. It's something I'm going to listen to again and again.
Yeah, Tony, great listening. Listen, I struggled with step three as well myself. And I would ask you this here. I mean, are you willing to put it to the test? Because what actually happened to me is I picked my father because I resented my father. I thought myself, I mean, I wanted him dead. I despised him. I wasn't going to pray for him. And I thought myself, okay, listen, and I was burning. I was like having barbed wire on my chest, and it was just tearing at me. And I says, okay, Eamon, what are you going to do? And it says, pray for him, wish everything for him that you'd wish for yourself. And I love this. And it would say, go ahead and do it anyway, even though you do not mean it. So whenever I'm kneeling and praying for my enemy, which was my father, and I didn't mean it, I was swearing, I was cursing. I hate him as he's a dirty, rotten bee. Do you mean? But I hope he sleeps. Do you know what I mean? And I'll do the same thing next night. I hope he sleeps and I hope he's got good health. And here's what it says to me, Tony. It says, Eamon, go ahead and do it anyway. And you will come to see it works. You will come to believe. I mean, it's in Freedom from Bondage in the big book. Do you know what I mean? Page 552, I think it is, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Go ahead and do it anyway. Go and pray for your enemy and see if the resentment will go. I could not believe it was humanly possible for the resentment, the bitterness to go from me that I had from my father. Amazing thing happened. I was able to put him on my 8-step list, and I was able to make amends to him on step nine. And I come from a big family. My father died many years ago, and all of my family still has resentment and bitterness towards my father. I allowed my father back into my life, and I allowed him to see my kids, do you know what I mean, and have a relationship with my kids. And I thought, Eamon, with your bitterness, you almost robbed your children of a relationship with their granddad. And Eamon, with your bitterness, you almost destroyed your father's relationship with your grandkids or with my own kids. And I thought myself, this is unbelievable. So I put that to the test and it worked. And can you remember what it says as well when I said the third step prayer? Take away the gambling, the drinking, the drugs, the woman, keep me out of courthouses, police cells, prisons. If I'm getting my wife back, my kids back, give them to me. Here's the reality. It all happened. It all happened. So that's what happened. And as well, you says there as well about, sometimes you struggle to forgive yourself from the past for some misdeeds done in the past. Sometimes this can go on for years and years where I feel okay and I feel really, really good and I feel as though I've dealt with it. The reality is, Eamon, sometimes it comes up, and Eamon, you're pretty hard on yourself at times. Eamon, there's a self-critic in you that wants you hammer you the whole way back to your addiction. And I'll say this here as well. From time to time, I definitely struggle with that, Tony. I definitely struggle with it. Even 32 years away from gambling. And there's times my wife brings things up, right? She regurgitates some of my past, and it really hurts me because I look in my wife's eyes and I see the pain in her eyes of the things that I'd done almost 30 years ago. So it still affects me from time to time to this day. And I don't like to see my wife in pain. And I realize, Eamon, your wife is still carrying some of the pain for the damage that you've done in the past. And at times, I find it hard to come to terms with that. Still, that is not easy for me. Other people, they seem to be okay with it. I struggle with it. Just to let you know, okay? Thank you, Tony.
That's a beautiful question. What a great answer. Thank you so much, both of you. Mark M., followed by Rich, Patsy, Brian, and Dick. Mark, you're up next, please. Welcome.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for hosting, everyone helping. My name is Mark. I'm a compulsive gambler. And Eamon, this is by no means a flippant question, although if I don't explain it, it might come over as one. I've heard you share many times, and I enjoy listening to you share for two reasons. The first one is because you speak a lot of sense. And you speak a lot of things that I can identify with and relate to. And the second one is you've got a particular speaking style. And Frank talked about the self-identification. You do that conversationally in your shares. You're constantly referring to your own name. You know, I don't know how many times in any share you say Eamon, you know, because you question. So my question is that something you naturally did? Is it something you deliberately do? Is it because I could see, and actually I do it myself now sometimes too, you know, how far does that carry? Is that actually part of your, a tool of your recovery to address yourself? And would you go as far as say, if I looked in your step four share, would it constantly saying, Eamon, 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 every third line?
Mark, great listening, a great question. Mark, I sort of don't do it deliberately. It just happens because, you know, I make it clear, you know, here's the guy. It's like, I mean, here's the guy in question. Here's the guy in the glass here. Here's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anybody else here. We're talking about this character here. Do you know what I mean? It's like, let me make it clear. This guy here. I mean, this guy can be at it. Do you know what I mean? This is the guy that caused the wreckage here. Not nobody else. This Eamon guy. And you know what? As I said in my sharing, it's like, what does 48 say? Eamon, outward appearance, mister, has got nothing to do with inward reality. Eamon, you're an actor on the stage. You know what I mean? You can produce this character here. Eamon, you better drop it. Eamon, you better smash it. It's about smashing that and saying, here's who I really am. You know what I mean? It's like, and I mess up from time to time. This is the type of character I am. And I would say this as well, Mark. I always believe, this is just me. I'm an AA, I'm an GA. And I always like to be the same character. If I'm sharing at the top stage or sharing from the floor, the character remains the same. Because what I've actually seen in the past, people, when they got on stage, they're a completely different character. And I have to remember, Eamon, always remain the character and talk about you, that Eamon guy. If it makes any sense, Mark.
It does. It's a serious answer to a serious question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Very deep, actually. Wow, that was something. I'm so glad it's being recorded. Rich M. from Minnesota. So nice to see you, Rich, tonight, today. You have a question for Eamon.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Thanks, Eamon. I really enjoyed hearing your message. And a couple of things really stood out for me. And one of them was, first of all, I've been in the program. I've been in the program for over 7 years, but my last bet was almost 3 years ago. So I had 4 years of in and out. And until I really made a decision to turn my step two, made that decision to turn my will over to the care of a higher power. You know, but you said something that kind of registered with me. And, you know, talked about the mind and, you know, how, what was the defense that you had, you know, against taking another bet? And I know for me, a couple things that I just wanted to say is that and ask you is, once I found the program almost 3 years ago and committed to it, surrendered, so to speak, and gave in and asked for a higher power to help me. Until that happened, I had no hope. But when I did, and I had a defense against that thought, that minute thought that comes real quickly, and it goes into the mind, and it's, some sort of a stopgap, something I could use to stop. And my question is that, or let's put it this way, I'm saying for me, that is a prayer that I have, that I use. Prayer enlarges our ability to cope. We've read that in the book. But not only for gambling, I've found that once that is set into my head and I use that, I have found that I use it in a lot of other parts of my life. Control, anger, whatever it might be, I have that as a backstop, where before I didn't have anything like that. And before you know it, I could go off on a tangent of what anger or control or so many other things and that we find in our life that would definitely bring me back in turn, sooner or later, probably to the bet. And I just wonder if that helped you in the rest of your life. And I think you answered that earlier, but hey, Eamon, I really, you got you Irishmen are okay. I mean, thank you. Thanks for
Thanks
letting
ever so
me.
much. Thank you.
Beautiful. Patsy. Patsy, it's good to have you here. I know you came a little bit later, but welcome. Nice to
You
have you.
know me, Eamon.
Oh,
My name's Patsy. I'm compulsive gambler. Day 85, Eamon.
man.
I've been doing it through this meeting and not the live meetings. My question to you is, so when I went to the meetings in Derry, it was all men, right?
Yep.
And I struggled with that. And can you get in contact with me to get a female sponsor? Because I'm wanting to work the steps now. I'm ready to work the steps. I've been coming into these meetings now and online since the 26th of December last year. I had a relapsed in March, and then I come back in and I've been really, defeat, surrender.
Yep.
But I need to have a female sponsor or a sponsor in Derry where I can work the steps with them. And that's I love you anyway, and I've heard you live and you're wonderful. So that's what I'm asking you, Eamon.
Patsy, I would make a suggestion to you. It's like, I would get back to the meetings in Derry. And you might have to go further afield. Listen, I understand. Like, I get frustrated and I see the lack of women that's in Gamblers Anonymous and the lack of, the women that know about sponsorship. I would hate to be a woman in Northern Ireland looking for a sponsor. Do you know what I mean? I really, really mean that. Like, my heart goes out to you, I would just I keep looking, keep praying, and maybe move a wee bit further afield. I mean, maybe try go to Dungannon, plus like that, go to, Letterkenny, if you can. Do you know what I mean? Or Belfast. If you ever get a chance, I would say this here, try to go to a convention if you can and hook up with people where there's a Gamblers Anonymous convention and hook up with people and then see if you could find yourself a sponsor there. I'm sure there's sponsors there for you, do you know what I mean? But I'll say this, I would never recommend a sponsor to anybody ever in my lifetime. Do you mean it's like because I say this to people, are you attracted to their spiritual sickness or their spiritual well-being? That's a reality. It's a minefield. But I would say, look, it's an individual choice, and I wouldn't recommend anybody to tell you the truth. Like, do you mean that's just the way I am? It's like if you see somebody has something you want, you ask them. But listen, I wish you all the very, very best in your recovery, and thanks for asking me the question.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. Brian from Chicago, followed by Dick and George. So, Brian, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Brian H., recovering compulsive gambler. Thank you for your lead. And I could really relate to so much of what you talked about. I think we struggled with many of the same addictions. I didn't even know my camera was off. We struggled with many of the same addictions. And, you know, when you talked about your overcoming or, you know, just, I shouldn't say overcoming, but how you deal with things and how you handle things and your internal analysis of yourself. I mean, it's so true. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard this saying in AA, but, and it's not very deep, but it's very to the point. The same person will drink again. And the same person will gamble again. At least for my case. If I don't change, I am going to gamble again. That's not up for discussion. It's not debatable. I've already proven it, unfortunately, countless times with my relapsing. So my resistance to change is a form of me trying to stay attracted or stay attached somehow to the addiction, if you will. And I've probably made that connection in the past, but, you know, I have these little epiphanies during meetings, and it's like, wow, you learn so much in a meeting when you close your mouth and open both your ears and you just listen. I've gone to a lot of meetings in my life. I've been going to AA since I was 19 years old, and I'm 52 now. I mean, I haven't been sober that entire time, but, I have a lot of recovery in here, and that's all wonderful. It needs to go in my heart. That's where I need it. Because knowledge is not going to save me from those situations where, you know, I have those mental blank spots. Knowledge won't help. Because unfortunately, if in my case, and I think I've seen this with other gamblers, recovering compulsive gamblers, I may have a lot of recovery knowledge. I sure as hell also have a lot of manipulation knowledge and ways to go out and gamble and, you know, trick people and lie and be dishonest. I have a ton of that knowledge too. So I have to remember which one I'm feeding. And I don't know, your lead really gave me a lot of little reminders that I kind of needed today, you know. I'm grateful. I feel like you and I have a lot of things in common. I'm an Irishman, but I'm not from Ireland. My father is, but my father was born in Tormacady, but I really liked your lead and I really appreciate it. And, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Dick, you're up next, followed by George. Welcome, Dick.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah. My name's Dick and I'm a compulsive gambler. Wee bit disappointed, folks, I come on here to listen to Eamon, but I obviously got the wrong Eamon. I got Eamon C, you know. But I hung in there. I stuck in with this, you know. I said I'll give him a try and see what he's like, you know. And he come across fairly well there, so he did, you know. I could listen to Eamon, and I do listen to Eamon every day. And I'm very blessed to be in that position that I can listen to them every day. So I am. So, you know, Frank said something there when he was sharing about Eamon, and it talks about it in the big book. And Eamon, as you know, quotes the big book, and I've learned to quote it myself, maybe not to the same level, but on page 511 of the big book, it says, "Oh, and one more thing they told me, humility is the key." You know, and I was talking about Eamon about this the other day, you know, and Eamon said to me that in each one of the steps is humility. And that's sometimes one of the biggest issues for me is I always struggled with pride. I was a prideful person on everything that I'd done. And being humble doesn't come natural to me, you know. But to be able to work these programs, that's what you need. And my attraction to Eamon when I first heard him was total, just what Frank talked about. He's not afraid to humble himself. He's not afraid to admit about getting it wrong. You know, because if he didn't do that, then I couldn't grow. Because he'd be prideful and I'd be prideful, you know. So As you're saying, I got a wee thing very recently, and it took me through the steps, and it said, the first three steps taught me how to give up. Four, five, and six taught me how to own up. Seven, eight, and nine taught me how to make up. And 10, 11, and 12 taught me how to grow up. And that's just what Eamon explained there now. That's what he explained, been through those steps. And the most difficult ones were four, five, and six taught me how to own up. See, I never wanted to own up to anything, no. But that was the only way I was going to grow. The only way I was going to grow was owning up to and when Eamon talks about Eamon, that's what I love when he talks about Eamon, when he shares. I talk about everything else, but I don't talk about Dick. I don't talk about everything else. You know, when you can talk about yourself, you're free. You know, you're not under bondage. It's when you're still under bondage, you want to talk about everything else, because that's the deflection. That last speaker, Brian, there was saying, you know, I know I was at a meeting and I was told one night, you know, all the knowledge in the world won't keep me off a bat. You know, it won't. You know, I have to change. Eamon said to me way back, if nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So, Eamon, good to hear you as per usual. I just said to Patsy there, if she's still on, I don't know where Patsy's on. Newry's a good meeting, Patsy, where there's women, there's a good few women goes to the Newry meeting. Is Patsy on or she off? She may have gone off.
Yeah, Patsy left, gone. I believe.
It's okay, there's no point there. No problem. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Eamon. God bless.
Thanks very much. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you so much as well, Dick. And just so you know, this meeting is here every day. It has been for over five and a half years, and we welcome you back anytime. Thank you. George, you're up next. Welcome, George.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Eamon, for your share. My question is, can aggression in recovery be a hindrance? I do have aggression in recovery, number one. Number two, can I continue recovering by just doing service and attending meetings and not working the steps and not saying it's for any repair? And number three, the most important one is when I go to meeting and I listen to things and they're different thoughts of what I say, I burn up sometimes. Can you just give me whatever you could throw at me for those questions? Thank you.
I'll say this seriously, aggression. Nobody benefits from aggression. That's one thing. But the reality is, if you're aggressive, the reality is, it's like, that's what I'm saying about six and seven. Tough steps. I mean, ask God, God, look, I'm not willing, or am I willing? Help me become less aggressive. And it's like, what? That's about looking at, in a sense, what's actually triggering you that now that you're being aggressive? Because you're getting triggered. Do you know what I mean? So it's about looking at the trigger, you know. It's like you said as well, can you recover? It's like, you know, by doing service, not doing the steps. I'll say this here. This is what I believe here. Only compulsive gamblers who has conceded to their innermost self, I'll take these steps. That's what I believe. So only compulsive gamblers, right, who has conceded to their innermost self, I'll take these steps. The reality is, that's what I love about, see, in Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, the heading says, how it works. So it asks you a question that it is so important. It asks you a question, what is it that you want? And then it goes on to say, if you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, you see, it's asking you a question, what do you want? I spoke about that at the start. 6 years in Gamblers Anonymous, not gambling. I was in worse condition after 6 years than I was when I gambled. You see, I wanted to hold on to my old ideas. I was full of bitterness and resentment and, you know what I mean, defiance and everything. And you know what? It didn't serve me at all. I knew if it didn't work, I was going to go back gambling. That's what I knew. And sorry, what was your third question?
George, hold on a second. George, there you go. You should unmute now. Go ahead, George.
Eamon, during meetings, I come in, I get there early. Everybody gives their therapy. I'm the next to the last or last guy to go. And a lot of times I just start burning up during the meeting because I know I can't say certain things to people because they're new in the group, or I know we're not supposed to offer unsolicited advice. So how can I restrain myself if there's such an answer? If not...
Yeah. I what I here's the reality. The reality is, see, some are defects of character. Have I got tolerance? Have I got acceptance? The reality is, I don't have the tolerance and I don't have the acceptance, and I'm getting wound up. And I would say this here, you know, it's like, try your best. I mean, go on. I'll show you this here. I say to somebody, I says, are you judgmental? I'm going to show you a great example. And they say, Eamon, I'm not. I says, okay, I'm going to tell you this here. Because times I put myself to the test, I go to a meeting and I let on, I've got a revolver and there's six shots in it. And I say, Eamon, okay, let's see your imaginary gun in a meeting. Who would you shoot? And I realised, I was at a meeting a while back in England, and there was a guy and he put his feet on the table, and I thought, I'm going to shoot him if I got my imaginary gun. Bang. There was a guy who had a big hat on. He was from Texas, and I shot him. There was somebody who ate too many biscuits at the table. I shot her, all imaginary in my head, and I say, Eamon, you see, this is crazy. See how judgmental you can be. You've run out of bullets straight away, the first three people. And I realised, this is absolutely crazy. See how judgmental you can be. You've got an imaginary gun. I think it's a great indicator to see whereabouts I'm at. But I'll say this here as well, and it was something that Frank has said as well. I mean this here sincerely. This really comes down to seconds at a time. The reality is, how fit is my spiritual condition at any moment in time? Because I'm going to show you this here. There's times somebody can do something and it will not bother me whatsoever. And it means I'm in a real good, fit spiritual condition. They do exactly the same thing the next day, and the reality is, I want to say something. I want to insist, I want to point it out. The reality is, how can it be, Eamon? Because yesterday, they done this thing, it didn't bother you. Your spiritual condition was much better yesterday. Eamon, how are you today? It really comes down to how I am at that very moment and time.
Wow. I completely got something out of that one. Because I can completely relate. Amazing, Eamon. Thank you so much. What a great, great, great share. And what an amazing opportunity to give back to the community and having this recording there. That's going to just help so many. Can't thank you enough to be of service. You're an inspiration to me to show me what it's like to be of true service in this program. And I appreciate you.